Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on
Sunday
evening.
And here we are on Palm Sunday evening.
Palm Sunday, yes.
Ooh, I hope you had an awesome Palm Sunday service at your church.
Yeah.
Hope you got palms and everything.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Amen.
All that stuff.
I think this is one of my favorites. This is actually one of my favorite days.
Did they sing Roni Roni at your church today?
They didn't.
They didn't?
Nah.
Wow.
They don't get into the minor chords and Hebrew lyrics. There's not many people other than you that can play messianic music.
Who knows?
Anyway.
I'm just trying to learn minor chords, is all.
Yeah. Well, you've done a good job of it so far.
You think?
I'm still trying to figure out which end of the guitar to hold up.
That could be a challenge.
The fat part, right?
Yeah, if you hold the back part up, that'll work just fine.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm not exactly Jimi Hendrix.
That's probably good because you wouldn't be here right now.
For those of you under the age of about 55, you don't even know who that is. Well, you might know who that is.
Who's he talking to?
Anyway, so here we are on Palm Sunday.
Yep.
What an amazing day.
Yeah.
So it's the account, I think, is in all four Gospels one way or another. Am I right or am I wrong? Well, I know Matthew and Luke have cool accounts.
They always have cool accounts.
Yeah, they do. So, and of course, if you listen to this program, even for one time, you know that we like to tie in Old Testament scripture.
We do.
Yes, and how these things that were types and shadows that were fulfilled by Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who's the substance. Palm Sunday actually goes back to the prophet Zechariah, who was actually my favorite minor prophet.
Wow. So you learn all kind of cool stuff on Palm Sunday.
That's right. In Zechariah, in the book of Zechariah, and he's got, I think, he's got at least 12 chapters. So 12:10 is one of my favorite. He might have 14 chapters. But in chapter 9, verse 9, he describes Palm Sunday. Although he didn't realize it was going to be called Palm Sunday at the time he did it, because it was about 500 years before the actual event.
Good old Zechariah.
Yeah, he's awesome. And, in Zechariah 9:9, you want to read that first before we go into the account?
Yeah, let's do that. Let me find Zechariah.
Why don't you read Zechariah 9:9.
So you said he was a major prophet.
No, he's a minor prophet, but he's got quite a few chapters for a minor prophet.
Wow, 14 chapters. That's a lot.
See?
He was busy. So do you remember? Let's see. Where
chapter
do you want?
9, verse 9, or starting at 9 there.
Exalt greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. A just savior is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow will be banished, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Ooh.
Wow.
So, daughter Zion is supposed to rejoice. And it says, rejoice greatly. You're supposed to shout. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew word there means to shout your rejoicing. And you see how cool this is, because your king with a capital K is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, and he has salvation with him. So, here you can imagine that Sunday afternoon, I presume it was Sunday afternoon, Jesus riding through the eastern gate on this donkey. So here comes. This is the Messiah's approach to the holy city, but he's riding on a donkey. He's not riding on a big white horse. He doesn't have a military escort. He doesn't have an escort by hundreds of Levitical priests. He doesn't have an entourage of subjects that are following him. He's got a donkey, and not even an adult donkey, but a young donkey,
mm-hmm.
and this sort of sorry group of guys that are walking with him. I mean, they certainly don't, it certainly doesn't look like a royal procession. And I was going to say the only time that Jesus is in a procession in his earthly life, but I guess you could call walking to Golgotha a procession of sorts, because a lot of people followed along.
Mm-hmm.
But he comes on this donkey, and it's Zechariah writes that he's just and brings salvation with him, but he's lowly riding on a donkey. So he comes into the city on this little baby donkey with a pretty humble looking appearance, but he has authority and he has power. And he knows that, you know, in Psalm 2, it says God's going to set him on the holy hill of Zion as a king. So after all the millennia that have gone by since Adam and Eve, and all the centuries that have gone by when you've had the Torah, the prophets, the wisdom literature, and all these things that talk about Messiah, talk about the king coming, after a really long wait, the king is actually coming.
Yeah.
And because he brings salvation with him, and of course, that also happens to be his name, because his name Yeshua means salvation.
Right.
You're supposed to shout with this overwhelming rejoicing, because salvation is literally coming into the city. And so the people, as we're going to see in a minute, start to cry Hosanna, or Hosanna, which means come and save us. And if you put the accent on the last syllable, it actually means come and save us now.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole scene, which was, of course, set up before anything was created and was known to God from everlasting, then prophesied by Prophet Zechariah, now comes to pass, actually in the city, with him coming in, riding on the donkey, just like the prophet said.
Yeah. Yeah. When he enters into the city, he's on a young donkey.
Mm-hmm.
And the procession into the city is quite festive.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably a good way to
put
it.
Very festive.
Very festive. And there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of proclamations that are being made.
Mm-hmm.
One particular that catches the ears of the Pharisees.
Yes.
Which we'll get into.
Yes.
But, you know, Zechariah prophesies this, and now the time is upon the nation of Israel. Now, mm-hmm. Now the time is upon the people in Jerusalem who are witnessing this,
mm-hmm.
and they're seeing their king coming mm-hmm. in to the city, riding in, you know, on a donkey, on a colt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do they recognize what's happening? Mm-hmm. You know, as it happens before their, as it's unfolding before their eyes.
Yeah. And this is an animal of service.
Mm-hmm.
This is a work animal.
Right.
I mean, you use the donkey to get around to do things, and it was your means of transportation. It was mm-hmm. a service animal.
Yeah.
I mean, poor people didn't have horses to ride around on. They were on donkeys.
Right.
And here he was, and of course we know that Jesus, as the eternal God, had condescended to take on human form,
mm-hmm.
had condescended to be, as it says on our website, born of a woman, born under the law.
Yes, it does.
I love that from Galatians 4. And because he condescends to take on our human nature, and how he empties himself, he literally becomes a servant. And as Isaiah 53 talks about how meek and humble he is. And he picks this up in Matthew 11, where he says, learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart.
Mm-hmm.
So here's this humble Savior riding on a donkey. Now, when he comes back into the city the next time, he's not going to come like a humble servant. He's going to come as a conquering king. But at this point, he's coming in as a kind, loving, humble servant who rides into the city on this baby animal of service. Now, most kings wouldn't be caught dead riding on a donkey. They would have had a big white horse. They would have had some beautiful royal carriage with maybe 8 or 10 beautiful white horses pulling it. Most kings wouldn't come riding into a city on the back of a donkey, but he's doing this and he is the king, capital K. He's king of kings, but he's riding on a donkey because, as he's going to say later, his kingdom is not of this world.
Exactly.
He's coming into the city bringing salvation. And as we're going to talk about, it's completely tied to Passover, even to the day when people would come and pick out the lambs that they were going to sacrifice. But we're going to get to that. So this is quite a scene. And as you say, it's a very festive scene.
Yeah.
We're going to read about that.
You want to go? You want to use John's or Matthew's?
Oh, whichever one you'd like.
Let's do Matthew's.
Okay.
Go back. So this is from Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. When they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply, 'The master has need of them.' Then he will send them at once. This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. Say to daughter Zion, 'Behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt, and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat upon them. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewed them on the road. The crowds preceding him and those following kept crying out and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds replied, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
A triumphant entry into the city.
Yes. And certainly it's the only triumphant procession he was ever in.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, it was Passover time. Mm-hmm. People were starting to come into the city because, of course, Passover is a pilgrimage feast. And if you lived in the city or if you came from far away, you had to get a lamb for the Passover day, which was just a few days away. And you had to have the lamb. If you study the book of Exodus, you'll know this, or if you've been to the website, you'll know this, or if you took my Torah class, you know this, or hopefully you've been studying yourself. Because after all, the Word of God is a sword, and we have to learn how to wield it.
Yes.
The only way you can do that is to study it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can't get that by listening to somebody, you know, read a couple of verses a week, or, you know, your pastor preaching a little sermon every Sunday morning about it. You have to really learn it. So you will know that the lamb that you procured had to be with your family for 4 days before it was slaughtered. And so if you lived in the city, you had to buy a lamb because you didn't have a flock of your own. And of course, you know, it had to be a spotless lamb, couldn't have any blemishes, couldn't be sick and all that thing. It had to be a perfect lamb. And so on this particular day, which that year was a Sunday, people went out and started looking around for lambs that they were going to use for the Passover, which was going to be Friday that year. Now, this is Sunday afternoon, and remember, the day starts at sundown. And remember, this is April, well, the month we would call April, which means the sun, you know, there wasn't daylight savings time at the time.
It wasn't?
No.
Wow.
So, you know, the day probably began about 6 or 6:30 at this time of the year. And so you took your lamb home on Sunday, and then it had to stay with you 4 days. And so on the day that people were looking at lambs, inspecting the lambs, and deciding which lamb to pick, the true lamb capital L, was coming into the city
for
the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, as you say that, it puts it in a context of what actually is happening here on Palm Sunday and why we celebrate this, you know, why we remember this on Palm Sunday. It's Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, but he is the pure and spotless lamb because he was like us in everything but sin. And so he comes in to the city and he's being brought in when all the lambs are being brought in. And he's going to suffer the same fate as those lambs are going to suffer, but for a much greater purpose.
Yes. There's estimates that during the time of Jesus, about 250,000 lambs were slaughtered in Jerusalem for the Passover.
Wow.
And
I mean, can you imagine that? That's
that's unbelievable.
I mean, just and they did this every year, the Passover is celebrated.
Yeah. And what's really profound is that when you went to buy the lamb, I mean, let's say you were going to buy your lamb from some guy and he said, oh, here, how about this one? This one's a good one. You would inspect the lamb because if it had any spots, if it was bruised, if it was hurt in some way, if it was coughing, if it was, you know, had a swollen foot, I mean, you couldn't use it.
Yeah.
And so you had to inspect the lamb before you took it home. And here we have the true lamb when he comes into the city is in a way inspected by the people and the religious leaders. And as we're going to see, the religious leaders reject that lamb.
Yeah, they do.
And some of the people reject him. Some of the people accept him. And some of the people don't know what to think. But like when they say, well, who is this? So who is this?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on over there? But such an amazing thing that when I first started thinking about this some years ago, it really struck me that when you read that account, there's not a lot of preparation made for this day in terms of Jesus and the apostles.
Right.
He doesn't talk about it for a week or so saying, okay, listen, we got to get ready because next Sunday, you know, we're going to get a donkey and here's what we're going to do. There's no planning made. There's no preparation that's listed.
Right.
It's kind of quickly mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus, you know, through the course of the 3 years that he was walking with his disciples, he told them a couple of times that he would have to suffer greatly and be killed. You know, and we all know that, you know, Peter said, Lord, that's never going to happen to you. And Jesus rebukes them. But they really didn't understand, you know, when he's talking about this, they really didn't understand what was going to take place or what was going to happen or why it was going to happen even. And as you were talking, I was looking at Luke's gospel because Luke's gospel says, the people proclaim, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He said in reply, I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out.
That's one of my favorite verses. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, because he's the king of kings, he's the Lord of lords, he's the son of God, and he is the Messiah.
Yes.
And he's telling the Pharisees, if they don't cry out, these rocks are going to cry and proclaim that I'm Lord.
Yeah, and the Pharisees aren't going to cry out.
No.
So the rocks will take their place.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's, and like I said before, this was all prepared before anything was created. This was all prepared because it was part of salvation history. And the scripture gives us so little account of any kind of preparation. He just says, oh, go over there and you're going to find a donkey. And he didn't even have his own animal. You know, he borrowed this donkey. And, you know, I assume they sent it back afterwards. But, you know, they borrowed somebody's donkey.
Right.
And Jesus even warned him, somebody's going to say, hey, what are you guys doing?
Right.
He's going to say, and you're going to say the master has need of it. So, you know, he asserts his authority in a way by taking the donkey, which is, you know, sounds kind of comical, but
I mean, think about that in our terms today. If somebody said, well, I'm, you know, they come up to your house and they take, let's say you have a horse, and they take your horse, and well, the master has need of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that exchange really gets glossed over a lot. It's really not really expounded upon too much, but it does show his authority, because when they say the master has need of it, there's no rebuttal.
There's no rebuttal. Nobody says, "Hey, you can't have my donkey."
You know, they don't say, "Well, who's master? What master?"
Yeah, exactly.
At least it's not accounted in the Gospels.
Yeah,
but
right. Why don't you guys just go to Hertz and rent a donkey?
Yeah. Do they have those at Hertz now? Wow.
But then they did.
Back then they did. Yeah. Rent a donkey.
Yeah. So, you know, and then interestingly, Matthew quotes from Zechariah 9:9. So that's pretty neat.
Zechariah again.
Yes. The Matthew knew all about that account.
He did.
Yes. I think they had a lot more scriptural knowledge than we do.
Probably.
Yeah. So it's quite a scene, because we're going to get to the Luke account, but, you know, the multitudes lined the streets. I mean, people came. There were normal, you know, regular people. There were religious leaders. You know, all kind of people were there. Plus, as I mentioned before, the city would be very crowded because of Passover attendance, and also because people are shopping for a lamb at this time. And so common people, in order to honor the king, and maybe they were thinking about Zechariah 9:9, the Pharisees, who knew, boy, I don't want to say every word, but knew all about the Torah, knew all about the prophets, don't say to themselves, you know, this could be Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah.
No, that's not mentioned, because the common people pay him honor by cutting down the branches.
Yeah.
Now, you'll immediately know, if you've studied Torah and if you've studied the feast days, that this harkens back to the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, where you wave branches as you praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so here they have palm branches that they wave and praise him with, which is kind of a foreshadowing of what happens in the Feast of Sukkot. So that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. And that's the most festive of all the feast days.
Yeah.
It's a break.
It is.
Anyway, remember, check out GiveToGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Come. You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
That is. That's Michael W. Smith.
Yes.
Will Paul Wilbur be here today?
No.
He won't.
He won't.
Well, maybe the next break. Who knows? We'll see. So during the break, Phil and I were talking about how these two animals, the donkey and the colt, they had been tied up, but they had never been ridden. They were never used.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is that Jesus doesn't own the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't own the animals. I mean, he created them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, they are his.
Yeah.
In a big way. But they have never been used. Nobody's, they haven't been put into service, if you will. And so this is the animal that he comes riding into Jerusalem on.
Yeah.
It's one that's not been used before, not been touched.
And that little donkey probably knew he was the creator.
Oh, probably. I would think so.
That's kind of neat. Yeah, no one else had ever ridden on it. The disciples put their clothes on it. Quite a scene.
Yeah, Jesus probably said, Adam named you the donkey. He probably thought, well, yeah, I know. I got this name donkey for the rest of my life.
And then Balaam had a talking donkey, but
whoa.
I don't talk.
How is that possible?
Yeah. Anyway.
Who knows?
So these multitudes lining the street and, another very powerful Old Testament reference is the fact that they say Hosanna to the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
Hosanna means come and save us, save us.
Yeah.
And Son of David, of course, is a messianic title.
Yeah.
From 2 Samuel, where God through Samuel says that the Messiah is going to be literally descended from David, said from your loins is going to come the one who's going to shepherd Israel. So the Messiah is commonly called the Son of David. And to this day, when observant Jews are waiting for the Messiah to come, they say, when Messiah comes, he's going to be the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And if you were one of the Pharisees, one of the religious leaders, and you heard somebody saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, you would immediately understand that what they're saying is, you are the Messiah, come and save us now. And this, of course, got them really mad.
The Pharisees, this got their attention. Because they're calling him the Messiah by saying Hosanna to the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is obviously in preparation for the Passover, the great feast that they would celebrate every year in the first person. And it's also, I think, important to remember that the Passover, we have to remember the Passover from Exodus. Because this is what he's coming to celebrate. This is what all the Jewish people are coming to celebrate in the city as they enter the city that week. And so, it's not just they're coming in there to celebrate the Passover, but it's a remembrance of the first Passover that God delivered them from slavery of sin, or slavery, I'm sorry, from slavery, in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is going to deliver us from slavery to sin.
Amen. It's parallel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we talk about, and not that Steve and I are the only ones to talk about this, because the writer to the Hebrews talks about this a long time ago, these things in the Old Testament are types and shadows mm-hmm. of what's going to come. They're prefigurements.
Right.
He's the substance. And Passover, of course, is probably the clearest comparison of those because you have a lamb, you have blood. If you're mm-hmm. under the blood of the lamb, you're safe.
Right.
You're safe from the curse. If you're not under the blood of the lamb, you die from the curse. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
It's an unblemished lamb. It's a perfect sacrifice. And you don't really have to do a lot of theological studies to understand that that's Jesus dying on the cross.
Yeah.
And that the blood is how we're saved.
Right.
But these people didn't this was happening, like we always say, in real time to them. Yeah. And they weren't sure exactly what was going to happen, except the crowds that are saying Hosanna to the Son of David, they also quote Psalm 118:26, which is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so they're quoting messianic prophecies and titles and telling him to come and save us. They're basically welcoming the Savior, welcoming in the kingdom.
Yeah. And we have to point out as well is that, again, every year they would celebrate this Feast of Passover mm-hmm. from the time of the first Exodus out of Egypt to Jesus's day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at any of those Passovers or any of the Passovers lead or any of the, you know, the time leading up to the Passover that week, nobody came into the city where people were shouting Hosanna to the Son of David.
That's right.
This had never happened
never
before.
Never happened before.
And it wasn't going to happen again. But it's important to point out that this what took place there had never happened before.
Yes.
The people never greeted anybody coming into the city with palm branches mm-hmm. or laying their cloaks down mm-hmm. so that they can, that one person can ride in processing mm-hmm. on a donkey
yeah.
and shout out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that really, you know, that really got the Pharisees' attention.
Yes.
And they did not.
Right.
They were not happy with that.
And since the writer to the Hebrews also tells us the sacrifice was once for all, it's not going to happen again.
Right. Right.
There's not going to be another procession like this going into the city. When he comes back, it's going to be a different kind of a procession, but we're not going to talk about that today. There's going to be no little donkeys.
No. Probably a nice horse.
Mm-hmm. Big white one.
Yeah.
But it says, too, that all the whole city was moved. So there were all these different people there, all these different emotions there. So some people are saying Hosanna to the Son of David and putting palm branches down. So they're essentially identifying that he's the Messiah and that he deserves praise and is worthy of praise. Then there's another group of people that say, who is this? They see this big commotion. They see this, you know, youngish guy on a donkey. They hear all this Hosanna and palm branches waving. Mm-hmm. And they say, who is this?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that the king of Israel comes into the city and they don't know who he is. You know, the king of the Jews comes into the city. They don't know who he is.
Right.
They don't know him. They say, who is this?
Yeah.
So it's the Holy One coming into the holy city.
Right.
And people don't know who he is.
Right. And the Feast of Passover was always celebrated in Jerusalem, correct?
Yes.
So being an observant Jew, Jesus would have had to enter the city
yes.
every year
yes.
for this Feast of Passover.
Exactly.
And then this year, as you said, they didn't know, you know, who is this?
Yeah. What's all the commotion?
What's all this branch waving?
We're just trying to buy lambs over here.
So it's interesting. Jesus, you know, the year before, Jesus would have come into the city.
Yeah.
Maybe with his disciples.
And nobody would have noticed.
And nobody would have noticed. But this year, his time is at hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
In every way, this was a totally different Passover than had ever been celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the most dramatic one ever. And the one in Egypt was second to this. But there had never been a Passover like this.
Right, right.
Never had the palm branches, never had the Son of David, never had Hosanna. And these common people, the people that were the, you know, what the Bible calls the multitudes, they were more in a frame of mind to accept him and to accept what was going on and seem to understand better what was going on than the religious leaders did. Because like I said, I don't know if any of these guys ever stopped to think that this was Zechariah 9:9. Just like later on when he's about to be crucified, you know, they say that during that week, right after this, they say to the people, no prophet has ever come from Galilee, so you guys are You know, he can't be a prophet because no prophets ever come from Galilee.
Right.
But of course, they didn't ask him where he was from. Because if they would have said, well, were you born in Nazareth? And he would have said, no, actually, I was born in Bethlehem. And they would have said, ooh, born in Bethlehem, Zechariah 9:9. But no, they dismiss him for not fulfilling what they thought was the appropriate prophecy at the time. And Luke's account that maybe you should read Luke's account.
Yeah. Where do you want to start from?
Yeah, go ahead.
Luke 19.
Yeah, Luke 19.
It starts at 28, but that's
well, you pick.
we'll read this again.
Yeah.
In case somebody by chance happened to miss the first segment of the show.
That's right.
Which we hope you did. But yeah. If you did, here's your chance. So Luke 19, beginning at verse 28. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said, go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, why are you untying it? You will answer, the master has need of it. So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying this colt? They answered, the master has need of it. So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He said to them in reply, I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So we talked about the people with the palm branches and the Hosanna. Then we talked about the people going, who is this? But now the Pharisees, the leaders, the people that are just steeped in the scripture, hear this commotion that's going on and they rebuke him. And they say, Rabbi, you know, make them stop this, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can understand they probably called them Rabbi in a sarcastic way.
Right.
Because, yeah. You know, they didn't, as, you know, we've talked about before, they say, we didn't give you any authority to do this.
They were the teachers.
Yeah, we're the teachers. Yeah. We're the rulers. You know, who do you think you are? You're from, like, nowhere. And they say, make them stop because, of course, if they're proclaiming him as Messiah, mm-hmm. the Pharisees say, no, this can't be the Messiah. So they tell him to make them stop, figuring he's going to say, oh, yeah, you guys keep it down over there. You know, it's you guys are making too much noise and there's
right.
people here trying to buy lambs.
Right.
But or if he says, you know, no, I'm not going to make them stop, which he does, they're going to use this against him as blasphemy.
Yeah.
So he says this is such a important day that's been from before creation of me being praised as king and savior, that if you don't praise me, if these people don't praise me, the rocks will.
Right.
I love this song.
It's Paul Wilbur.
Yeah, it's partly about this.
He's here.
Palm Sunday. Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
And the ark of your might, then we will rejoice as we're clothed with your righteousness and celebrate. and the ark of your might. Then we will rejoice as we're clothed with your righteousness and celebrate the love. Baruch Abba, Hashem.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So when these Pharisees rebuke the multitudes, instead of joining in the praise, they're enraged.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, this line about the stones are going to cry out is just amazing. You know, in Romans, Paul says, you know, all creation's groaning, waiting for him to come back.
Well, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of when John the Baptist tells them,
yes,
you know, don't profess that you're children of Abraham, because God can raise up children from these stones.
Yes. In fact, I was just thinking about that when you said it, because he says, you know, these children of Abraham, even stones can turn into children of Abraham.
Yeah.
So the stones, if the stones start praising, they'll be like children of Abraham praising.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing it.
Wonder if they thought about that.
And then at the cross, you know, there was an earthquake, and so the stones kind of were involved too,
mm-hmm.
because the whole earth was rocking. But, you know, here it's really, it's like the kingdom is really breaking in now. He's coming in to bring the kingdom, and the disciples, of course, can't possibly understand what's going on. But then later they'll understand what's going on, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will, when he comes, is going to remind you of everything that I said,
yeah.
You know, kind of everything that happened. So later on, they're going to understand what happened, that actually they brought the Messiah into the city to start the week that's going to lead to the sacrifice that brings salvation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a lot that's happened. There's a lot that's happening this day when Jesus is entering the city of Jerusalem, because not too long ago he had raised, you know, Lazarus was risen from the dead as well.
Yes.
And so the people give witness and testimony to this because they believe in him, that
yes,
he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of reasons why the people are believing in Jesus and they're proclaiming him as the Messiah. And you know, the palm branches again are a sign of, you know, victory and peace of, you know, a triumph.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, they lay these palm branches down at his feet, but as he's entering into Jerusalem, he also laments over Jerusalem because he knows what, you know, he knows that he's going to suffer and die. He knows he's going to rise from the dead, but he also knows that the religious leaders in his day are going to reject him, and Jerusalem is going to be left desolate.
Yeah.
So he laments and he weeps over Jerusalem for that.
We really need to do a separate show on that. That's such a
powerful thing.
Weeping over the city is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful image of, you know, I wanted to gather you like a hen gathered her chicks, but you're not willing.
Yeah. And as you said, you know, they don't join in the praise. They rebuke him.
Yes.
They rebuke him and tell him to stop. And you see this all throughout the scripture where we can go back to when the wise men came. Where's he at? Where's who at? The newborn king of the Jews.
Yeah.
Who?
Who? Yeah.
You know, we're not going to go and find him with you. You go and tell us about him. They don't join in.
Yeah.
In the search.
Exactly.
They stay back. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh. But we really should do a show or two about that.
Lament over Jerusalem.
Yes. Oh, man. Well,
we'll have to do it after Easter.
After Easter.
Yeah.
I just really like these Palm Sunday accounts.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's nice through, depending how you celebrate it at your church. And, you know, some churches probably don't do anything and some do a lot of stuff. But I think it's kind of neat in the churches that have actual processions of people carrying palm branches. And it's kind of a great way to commemorate what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a really brings to mind exactly what took place that day where the king comes into his city to save his people. And here we are all, you know, 2,000 years later, still talking about it, still commemorating it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the fulfillment of all that had happened before him.
Yes, exactly.
You know, he's fulfilling prophecy. He's fulfilling the law by laying down his life. Up until now, there's been the types and shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's the substance. Mm-hmm. Now it's really happening.
Yes.
This is it.
And in a few short days, they're going to have the most different Seder they've ever had in their lives.
Yeah. And a very illegal trial.
Yes. And if you've ever been to a Messianic Seder, you really should go to one.
Are you having any this year?
Yes.
Do you want to list them?
Yes. Well, I'm having one at my house, but not everybody's invited because I already have like...
Am I invited?
40. Yes, you are.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but not even our three listeners can come because I got like 42 people coming.
Oh.
But we are doing one at New... I am doing one at New Life Church. But I think it's too late to register for that one, too. But anyway, but if you know someplace, and sometimes Jews for Jesus come and do a presentation called Christ and the Passover, which if you've ever seen that happen, I mean, if you've ever been to one, you know that that's very rich with the Hebrew roots and so forth. And it's great to go to one if you can find one somewhere.
It is. It's really, if you've never been to one and you can find one, it's good to go because it really does make a lot of connections to the celebration that we celebrate during Holy Week, the Last Supper of the Lord.
Yes.
And the connection to Jesus riding into Jerusalem the Sunday before in preparation for Passover, and how the Israelites would celebrate the Feast of Passover in the first person and all that went with it.
Yes.
It's really an educational experience that you should take part of.
Woo. Well, I guess that's the end of the show.
It is.
Yes. I still have some more notes. But anyway, hope you've had an awesome Palm Sunday.
And we just pray that as we enter this Holy Week, and as we come to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, that we would, with all our heart, acknowledge Him as King and Lord of heaven and earth and proclaim, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless everyone. Have a great week. Without a lamb. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.